November is National Alzheimer's Disease Awareness Month and National Caregiver Month. According to the Alzheimer's Association, more than 5 million Americans have Alzheimer's, and someone develops the disease every 68 seconds. Alzheimer's research is a part of the work taking place at the University of West Florida Center on Aging. For more details, WUWF Sandra Averhart spoke with the center's director, Dr. Rodney Gutman, who also serves as a board member of Alzheimer's Family Services and is an ambassador for the National Alzheimer's Association.
Dr. Gutman, Rodney, tell us about, remind us about what Alzheimer's is, a form of dementia.
Right. Alzheimer's disease is one of a number of different dementias. It is a slow, progressive form. It results in memory problems primarily, but there's also behavior and visual spatial issues that take place with that. And it is a disease of aging, that the number one risk factor for Alzheimer's disease is age.
Give us more detail as to how it is defined.
Right. How it's defined is you find that people who have struggle with memory, of course, we all have problems with memory. But for Alzheimer's disease, it's when it begins to affect our activities of daily living. So it's one thing to come out of the grocery store and go, where did I park my car? I suffer from that. But eventually I find my car. But it's another thing where you don't remember how to drive or don't know what the key is for. And those are the types of issues that are your first alerts that there's something more serious going wrong.
Give us some idea now as to the prevalence of Alzheimer's disease.
Alzheimer's disease, it's about 14% of the population 65 and older. But as we get older, that becomes more and more likely. And so the general sense is about 85 or older is about 40% of the population has Alzheimer's disease.
And could the baby boomer generation kind of push that number?
The absolute number is going to increase. I believe it's somewhere around 6 or 7 million in the United States now have Alzheimer's disease. And, of course, the fastest growing segment of our population is the group 85 and older. So naturally, as time goes on, that number is going to increase and predicting it to double over the next 30 years.
You say that there at this time is no prevention, no treatment, or cure for Alzheimer's, and that the focus of research now across the globe is on trying to identify the disease as early as possible by using biomarkers. And you say that's also the focus of research that you're doing here at the University of West Florida.
That's correct. Biomarkers are a very important area of investigation right now. Because there is no treatment or cure, the clinical trials that have all undertaken over the last 10 or 15 years have not gone well. And so we're looking at what else can we do. And one of the issues we find is we really don't know how early Alzheimer's disease begins. And one of the ways that we could think that we would improve our outcomes would be to identify it as early as possible. Well, in the clinical setting, we're pretty much where we are because you're looking for memory deficits, visual spatial deficits, and there's a limitation it is how sensitive those tests can be. But we do know that there are changes inside the brain that are taking place that we might have a better chance at identifying earlier. And there are a few biomarkers that are available to us, looking in the cerebral spinal fluid, looking for changes in a couple of the proteins we know are linked with Alzheimer's disease, like amyloid and tau, for example. But we need to do a better job at refining those and maybe looking for new ones. And that's one of the objectives of my research, which is to look either in the blood or the cerebral spinal fluid of people with Alzheimer's disease and looking for, are there any novel markers we may be able to identify so that we can walk back that instead of having to be 65 or 70 when you go into the clinical setting and say, oh, okay, based on these sets of tests, you have Alzheimer's disease. Well, maybe we can find someone when they're 40 and go, okay, a sample of your blood or cerebral spinal fluid are showing these changes. These are indicative of early stages of Alzheimer's disease, and now we can put you on new medications that might help prevent or treat.
What do you know at this point about the genetics of Alzheimer's?
For as far as genetics goes, about 5% of Alzheimer's disease has a genetic cause, and there's a number of genes that have been identified and clearly identified as that link. So for most people, if you're over 65, you do not have a genetic cause of the disease. But there are genetic risk factors, and there's a number of those, and there have been some recent ones identified, the primary one being a gene called APOE. And that gene constitutes about 40%, we think, of the genetic risk of Alzheimer's disease if you have certain flavors. So there are three major types, APOE2, 3, and 4. And if you have the APOE4, you are at elevated risk for Alzheimer's disease. And that's where we stand in terms of the genetics. And we're always looking for new ones because we do think that even amongst the 95% that is random or sporadic, most of that has a genetic risk associated with it.
Now, researchers have found that diabetes and head injuries are identifiable risk factors for Alzheimer's.
Those are significant risk factors for Alzheimer's disease. In fact, we think of Alzheimer's disease as type 3 diabetes. The reason for that is, of course, diabetes is a glucose-related issue and insulin. And the brain is one of the highest consumers of glucose in your body. And so it makes sense that if there are perturbations in the amount of glucose in the blood, the brain is going to be very sensitive to that. And so we think that one of the contributing factors to dementia is this altered glucose levels and an inability to regulate it the way we should. So for people with both type 1 and type 2 diabetes, they need to do as good a job as possible at maintaining that, because it has major ramifications down the road, because things that may have been lethal years ago, we now have treatments for. So you don't die from diabetes when you're in your late 70s or early 70s. Now you have a good chance of living to be 80, 85, and those interruptions in glucose regulation that you experience will now show themselves as dementia. Head injury is another major one. I know with college football and professional football and soccer and all these things, there's good evidence now that strongly support that multiple head injuries are a significant factor, a risk factor for developing dementia, and Alzheimer's disease being the number one of those dementias.
Before we conclude, we want to be sure to point out that all of this research, it's really about being able to develop a drug, a treatment, to be able to delay or prevent the onset of Alzheimer's disease.
That's right. The point of finding biomarkers in all the research at this point is to come up with a cure. If nothing else, at least come up with a treatment that can delay the onset of Alzheimer's disease. There are statistics out there that show a delay of 5 years will have major ramifications on the cost of Alzheimer's disease, because naturally, as we get older, we're going to die of something else. And the cost of Alzheimer's disease can be blunted somewhat, even with a delay, even without a cure.
Dr. Guttman, director of the UWF Center on Aging, and you're on the board of Alzheimer's Family Services. Let's take just a moment to talk about that organization.
Alzheimer's Family Services is a local organization that provides support services to caregivers of those with dementia. Of course, that's primarily Alzheimer's disease, but they do work with folks with other forms of dementia as well. Caregivers of those with dementia are a very unique group. They are more susceptible to stress than other types of caregivers, because not only do you have the physical manifestations that go along with many other diseases that require caregiving, but just the psychological and emotional stress of seeing your loved one deteriorate before your very eyes. They don't remember you. They don't remember events. It's a much more difficult situation. And there is a huge emphasis in the field outside of the biomedical realm that I'm in, but to work in caregiving and how do you support these caregivers with either respite care, information, or just group therapy in that sense. And Alzheimer's Family Services is the local group that has been providing that for many decades, and I'm very pleased to be part of that group on the board to support them, because in many cases it's not the person with Alzheimer's disease that suffers the most. It's the caregiver that suffers the most. And Alzheimer's Family Services is working very diligently to provide those services to people in need who really do need that extra bit of caregiving support that you might not get in other places.
And finally, tell us about what you do as ambassador for the National Alzheimer's Association.
Well, I love this position. I'm very happy to be part of this group. The national organization really focuses on research for Alzheimer's disease and the search for a cure, in addition to these other support services that they also provide. They do it at a national scale, and so they bring resources together, apply some of it locally, but also emphasizing at the national level, trying to get our politicians to get in gear and to put the support behind Alzheimer's disease to find this cure. For people like me, research is expensive, and so you need those levels of support from the national, from the federal government. About 80% of research is done through National Institutes of Health and those research dollars. And so one of their main points of emphasis is to light a fire under the politicians to make sure they know what's going out in the community and how much this research really means. So as ambassador, I work primarily with Senator Bill Nelson, and he is a chairman of an aging committee. It's just great to go and visit Washington, D.C. once a year, make sure they're up to speed, remind them about their constituencies back at home. Also, my job is to bring the information I learned from there back to our community to remind them that they need to be in touch with their congressman, including Jeff Miller and Senator Bill Nelson, and let them know how important Alzheimer's disease is to them and how important the funding of research is to them. And it's just a really enjoyable experience to be part of that group and see the vast network that exists that has the sole mission of trying to find that cure through both the caregiving support, but also at the national level, searching for a cure and getting the research dollars that are desperately needed.
Dr. Rodney Gutman is director of the UWF Center on Aging. He is also on the board for Alzheimer's Family Services and is an ambassador for the National Alzheimer's Association. More information and links are available online at uwf.edu/COA. I'm Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.